TriStar, a Sony Pictures Entertainment company. TriStar Pictures presents a Jersey Films production, Matilda. A baby's bright brown eyes and nose. The baby's lying in a cot in a room full of other babies, all in identical cots.
Everyone is born, but not everyone is born the same. Some will grow to be butchers or bakers or candlestick makers. Some will only be really good at making Jell-O salad. One way or another, though, every human being is unique, for better or for worse. Most parents believe their children are the most beautiful creatures ever to grace the planet. Others take a less emotional approach.
What a waste of time.
And painful.
And expensive. $9.25 for a bar of soap?
Well, I had to take a shower, Harry.
$5,000? I'm not paying it. What are they going to do, repossess the kid?
The man dumps the baby in her carry cot in the boot of an estate car. A sweaty-faced young boy is playing a bat and ball game on the back seat, looking over at the baby. As the car moves, the carry cot slides around.
There's no way out.
Make a U-turn.
The carry cot swivels around on the spot.
Harry!
Harry!
Harry and Zinnia Wormwood lived in a very nice neighborhood, in a very nice house, but they were not really very nice people.
The green estate pulls up into the wide drive of a single-story home. Zinnia, Harry, and their son Michael get out of the car.
Get out of the street, you little dodos!
They've completely forgotten about their baby daughter.
The Wormwoods were so wrapped up in their own silly lives that they barely noticed they had a daughter. Had they paid any attention to her at all, they'd have realized she was a rather extraordinary child.
Oh my gosh, Matilda, now look what you did!
They named her Matilda.
You're supposed to eat the spinach.
Baby Matilda has written her name in the mashed spinach. Zinnia places her in the kitchen sink.
Babies, you're better off raising tomatoes.
By the time she was two, Matilda had learned what most people learn in their early 30s, how to take care of herself.
She gets dressed.
As time went by, she developed a sense of style. Every morning, Matilda's older brother, Michael, went to school.
Come on, get out of here.
Her father went to work selling used cars for unfair prices. And her mother took off to play bingo.
Soup's on the stove. Heat it up if you get hungry.
Matilda was left alone. That was how she liked it.
She tips an open tin of soup sitting in a saucepan into the bin, cracks eggs into a glass bowl, and whisks them. She adds flour and stirs the mixture with a wooden spoon. She then pours the white batter into a hot frying pan and makes three fat pancakes. She smiles and flips them over with a spatula and drops them onto a plate. She sits eating and reading a magazine.
By the time she was four, Matilda had read every magazine in the house. One night, she got up her courage and asked her father for something she desperately wanted.
A book? What do you want a book for?
To read.
To read? Why would you want to read when you got the television set sitting right in front of you? There's nothing you can get from a book that you can't get from a television faster.
Get out of the way!
Matilda already knew that she was somewhat different from her family. She saw that whatever she needed in this world, she'd have to get herself.
Bye.
Ciao. There's fish fingers in the microwave.
The next morning, after her parents left, Matilda set off in search of a book.
She finds the address of a library and heads out from home in the sunshine. She crosses the street amongst adults who tower over her. She arrives outside the library and looks up at the stone steps and huge entrance. Inside, it's cavernous and cathedral-like, with tall, narrow stained glass windows. Timidly, she approaches a white-haired woman behind the front desk.
Where are the children's books, please?
In that room right over there. Would you like me to pick you out one with lots of pictures in it?
No, thank you. I'm sure I can manage.
The woman watches her go curiously. Matilda climbs into a big comfy armchair in the children's section with a book and starts to read.
From then on, every day as soon as her mother went to bingo, Matilda walked the 10 blocks to the library and devoured one book after another. When she finished all the children's books, she started wandering around in search of something else. Mrs. Phelps, who had been watching her with fascination for the past few weeks, offered Matilda some valuable library information.
You know, you could have your very own library card, and then you could take books home. And you wouldn't have to walk here every day. You could take as many as you like.
That would be wonderful.
So Matilda's strong young mind continued to grow, nurtured by the voices of all those authors who had sent their books out into the world, like ships onto the sea.
Matilda wheels books home in a small cart and grows older.
These books gave Matilda a hopeful and comforting message. You are not alone.
She looks sadly at a playground full of happy children. She pulls her cart closer to the high playground fence slowly, then sits under a tree and reads. She reads in her bedroom at home.
Any packages come today?
Mm-mm.
Where'd all this come from?
A library.
The library? You've never set foot in a library. You're only 4 years old.
6 and a half.
You're 4.
6 and a half.
If you were 6 and a half, you'd be in school already.
I want to be in school. I told you I was supposed to start school in September. You wouldn't listen.
Get up. Get up. Get out here. Give me that book. Dearest Pi, how old is Matilda?
4. I'm 6 and a half, Mommy.
5, then.
I was 6 in August.
You're a liar.
I want to go to school.
School? It's out of the question. Who would be here to sign for the packages? We can't leave valuable packages sitting out on the doorstep. Now go watch TV like a good kid.
You know, sometimes I think there's something wrong with that girl.
Tell me about it.
Hey, Gift Face! Have a marshmallow! Have another marshmallow, Gift Face! Gift Face!
Tears splash onto a printed page.
Sometimes Matilda longed for a friend, someone like the kind, courageous people in her books. It occurred to her that, like talking dragons and princesses with hair long enough to climb, such people might exist only in storybooks. But Matilda was about to discover that she could be her own friend, that she had a kind of strength she wasn't even aware of.
I'm great. I'm incredible. Michael, pencil and paper in the kitchen.
Oh. Did we sell some cars today, honeydew?
Did we?
Does that mean I can get that new TV?
Yeah. Son, one day you're gonna have to earn your own living. It's time you learn the family business. Sit down. Write this down. All right. The first car your brilliant father sold cost $320. I sold it for $1,158. The second one cost $512. Mm-hmm. I sold it for $2,269.
Wait, Daddy, going too fast.
Just right. The third cost $68. I sold it for $999. And the fourth cost $1,100. I sold it for $7,839 big American buffers.
Harry!
What was my profit for the day?
Can you repeat the last
$10,265. Check it if you don't believe me.
Harry does so.
You're a little cheat. You saw the paper.
From all the way over here?
Are you being smart with me? If you're being smart with me, young lady, you're going to be punished.
Punished for being smart?
For being a smart aleck. When a person is bad, that person has to be taught a lesson.
Person?
Get up. Get up.
Harry Wormwood had unintentionally given his daughter the first practical advice she could use. He meant to say, when a child is bad. Instead, he said, when a person is bad, and thereby introduced a revolutionary idea that children could punish their parents. Only when they deserved it, of course.
Early one morning, Matilda sneaks into her parents' bedroom and goes to their mirror, which is surrounded by tons of beauty products. She picks up Harry's bottle of hair lotion. She spots a bottle of peroxide. Matilda pours the hair lotion down the sink, then replaces it with the peroxide. She puts the cap back on the hair lotion bottle. Just as Harry's waking, Matilda rushes to put the bottles back. She crawls towards the door as Harry gets up and goes to the bathroom. She waits as he passes, then continues. Her mother sits bolt upright in bed, causing Matilda to freeze. She relaxes when she sees that her mother's wearing an eye patch with cartoon eyes on it, then carries on out of the room.
Michael, come into my room.
Harry's hair lotion.
What?
My boy, today's the day I take you to the shop. What do you say?
I don't know. What do you say, Dad?
I say appearance is 9/10 of the law. People don't buy a car. They buy me, which is why I personally take such pride in my appearance. Well-oiled hair, clean shave, snappy suit. Now run along and get ready for a big day of learning, kid. It's gonna be a big day of learning, too. There's a sucker born every minute. We're gonna take him for all they got.
Give me the cookies.
Yeah.
Matilda collects waffles from the toaster.
Okay, my boy, heir to the throne, today we diddle the customer. What's wrong with you? What are you looking at? Lovekins, where's my breakfast?
Here we are, my heartstrings!
Snickerdoodle, what did you do to your hair?
My hair?
The top's gone from dark to light brown.
Get in the car.
Dirty dealings, like buying stolen car parts, never stay secret for long, especially when the FBI gets involved.
Harry's being photographed putting a box into his car.
9/17, suspect exits domicile.
I've got 9/18.
9/17 is correct.
Harry drives off. Cars with prices on them gleam on his business forecourt. In his junk-filled workshop.
Michael, one day all this will be yours.
This?
See this junker? I paid $100 for her. She's got 120,000 miles on her. Transmission shot, bumpers have fallen off. What do I do with her? I sell her. We really should weld these bumpers on. But that takes time, equipment, money. So, we use super glue instead. Go ahead, put it on there.
Won't it fall off?
Definitely.
Isn't that dangerous?
Not to me, okay? Transmission. The sawdust quiets the gears and lets the engine run as sweet as a nut for a couple of miles.
Daddy, that's cheating.
Of course it's cheating. Nobody ever got rich being honest. 20 years ago, we could turn the numbers back by hand. But here, take my hat. But the feds like to test the ingenuity of the American businessman. Two-directional drill. You run it backwards, the numbers go down. Watch your speedometer.
Cool.
See?
Yeah.
Daddy, you're a crook.
What?
This is illegal.
Yeah, keep drilling. Do you make money? Do you have a job?
No, but don't people need good cars? Can't you sell good cars, Dad?
Listen, you little wiseacre. I'm smart, you're dumb. I'm big, you're little. I'm right, you're wrong. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Matilda sees her father's hat and the pot of super, super glue and thinks.
Harry! I won! I hit the double bingo! Ah! Come on, everybody! I'm taking you all to Cafe La Ritz!
Let me see the money.
Never mind.
Double bingo, huh? Ooh.
God, your hair looks awful. I hope they let you in.
They'll let me in.
Here's your hat, Daddy.
Get in the car. Go on, get in. How much?
It's for me to know and you to find out.
Glue drips from a brush.
It's nice to go out sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah.
You never take us out.
Of course I do. I took you to the Flipper.
I don't remember any of the Flipper.
The fish joint. You found that comb in the bouillabaisse.
Oh, yeah. I like that joint.
Bonjour, this way, please.
Harry, take your hat off.
Can't.
This is a nice place. You can't wear a hat inside.
I can't take it off.
Harry, nobody cares what your hair looks like.
I can't get it off. I can't get it off. I can't get it off.
Oh, just a minute. I'm going to get this hat off. I'm pulling it. I think your head swelled up really bad.
You put on the skin.
You're such a baby. Stop it.
Five is a fuse to the head.
Five is a fuse? What is that supposed to mean? Give me the hat.
The hat brim rips, sending Zinnia tumbling backwards over a table and Harry crashing into a waiter. Harry falls onto a dessert table, catapulting cakes into the air. The waiter catches a few flying menus, but one flicks a fork into the air. A cake lands on Matilda's plate and the fork sticks into it. Another cake splats cream all over Michael.
I will not be the figure of ridicule. I want respect, and I want it now. Oh.
I still don't see how you glued your hat on, Harry. I mean, I know you say you didn't, but obviously you did.
I did not glue my hat to my head. The hat shrunk, the fibers fused to my hair.
Ow. Baby, wait a minute. I'm getting it now. I'm getting it. One more. Oh, my God.
The hat's come off, taking hair with it.
From now on, this family does exactly what I say, when I say it.
Here's your hat, Harry.
Give me the hat. And right now, we are eating dinner and watching TV.
Are you ready to get sticky with Mickey?
Shut your light off.
Michael switches off a lamp. Harry turns to look at Matilda, who's reading, and looks deeply disgruntled. He gets up from his chair and leans over her. She looks up at him.
Hi, Dad.
Are you in this family?
Mm-mm.
Hello? Are you in this family?
He turns off her lamp.
Dinner time is family time. What is this trash you're reading?
It's not trash, Daddy. It's lovely. It's called Moby Dick by Herman Melville.
Moby what? This is filth. Trash.
That's not mine. It's a library book.
Trash. I'm fed up with all this reading. You're a wormwood. You start acting like one. Sit up and look at the TV.
Skin irritation may result from playing our game. Get real sticky and get cash for free. All right, that's enough. Let's get sticky!
Harry holds her head, forcing her to watch the game show. A contestant has been covered in glue by two women and now has dollar bills blown around him in a transparent cubicle. Matilda's eyes begin burning with revulsion and hatred, and the TV explodes.
I didn't do it.
Of course you didn't do it, you little twit.
Ugh. I told you that was a cheap set.
It's not a cheap set, it's a stolen set. Oh. Put your light on.
Bummer.
Was it magic or coincidence? She didn't know. It is said that we humans use only a tiny portion of our brains. Matilda might never have discovered her own great strength of mind were it not for the events that began on the very next day.
I need a car, inexpensive but reliable. Can you service me?
In a manner of speaking, yes. Welcome to Wormwood Motors. Harry Wormwood, owner, founder, whatever.
Agatha Trunchbull, principal, Crunchham Hall Elementary School. I warn you, sir, I want a tight car because I run a tight ship.
Oh, yeah, huh? Well,
My school is a model of discipline. Use the rod, beat the child. That's my motto.
Terrific motto.
You have brats yourself.
Yeah, I got a boy, Mikey, and one mistake, Matilda.
They're all mistakes, children. Filthy, nasty things. Glad I never was one.
Uh-huh. Well, since you're an educator, I'm gonna make you a great deal.
You had better.
Let's do business. Hey, you. Enjoy it.
Hey, you. You're going to school.
I am?
First thing tomorrow. Yeah. Okay. You get a real education at this place.
Matilda had always wanted to go to school because she loved to learn. She tried to imagine what her new school would be like.
Go ahead.
She pictured a lovely building surrounded by trees and flowers and swings. Well, there was a building and children. So regardless of what Crunchham Hall looked like, she was happy to be there.
Hey, wait up!
After all, any school is better than no school at all, isn't it?
Agatha Trunchbull steps outside in a green suit, long socks and leather gloves. She slaps a riding crop onto the palm of one hand. She comes down the school's front steps to face the stunned children. Her shadow passes over stonework, and her big brown shoes crunch the gravel underneath them as she strides by.
You, detention.
Matilda's terrified.
You're too small. Grow up quicker.
Matilda hides in the gap in the wall.
Hey, sorry.
Attention for you.
That's okay. It's much better than being out there. Is that my teacher? No, that's the principal, Miss Trunchbull. You've got to be kidding.
You squirts better skedaddle. I'm not kidding. The Trunchbull likes to snap a whip in there to see who's trying to hide.
Stop again! Change those socks. Too pink.
I'm Matilda.
Lavender.
I'm Hortensia.
Hi. She doesn't really hit children with that riding crop, does she?
No, it's mostly for scare. What she does is worse. Like yesterday, in the second grade, the Trunchbull makes a weekly visit to every classroom to show the teachers a thing or two about handling kids. And Julius Rautwinkle ate 2 M&Ms during her lesson.
And she caught him?
Of course.
The Trunchbull picks him up and throws him out of a window.
Was Julius okay?
After being thrown out the window? Of course he wasn't okay. He lived, if that's what you mean.
The Trunchbull used to be in the Olympics. Shot put, javelin, hammer throw.
The hammer throw's her specialty.
So she does this all the time?
It's better than being put in the chokey.
Chokey?
Yeah, the chokey. It's a tall, narrow hole in a wall behind a door. You have to stand in a drippy pipe with jagged edges, and the walls are broken glass and nails sticking out.
Get inside, you festering ball of pus!
She puts kids in there?
I've been in twice. Sometimes she leaves you in there all day.
But didn't you tell your parents?
They didn't believe me. I mean, would your parents believe it?
60 lines after school. I must obey Miss Trunchbull.
No.
Out of my way.
Here she comes.
Ah, fresh meat.
She goes over to a small blonde girl.
Amanda Thripp.
Yes, Miss Trunchbull.
What are those?
What's what, Miss Trenchbull?
Hanging down by your ears.
You mean my pigtails?
Are you a pig, Amanda?
No, Miss Trenchbull.
Do I allow pigs in my school?
My mommy thinks they're sweet.
Your mommy is a twit. You'll chop those off before school tomorrow, or I will come around. But!
But!
Did you say but?
Erythro.
What? Definitely.
I'll give you but!
The Trunchbull grabs poor Amanda by her pigtails and swings her round in the air. She lets go, sending Amanda flying.
Good luck!
An excellent release!
Matilda and the others watch open-mouthed.
Think she'll make the fence?
Can we close one?
Amanda descends, just clearing the spiked fence, and skids on her bottom through a large flower bed. She collects flowers in her hand as she whizzes through them. She comes to a stop and stands up unhurt, holding the flowers, and waves.
Yeah! Quiet! Get to class before I throw you all in a choking.
Lavender, what's my teacher like?
Run, run, run! Faster! Get in! Quickly!
But Matilda's teacher, Miss Honey, was one of those remarkable people who appreciates every single child for who she or he is.
I scooped these up for you, Miss Honey.
Oh, how lovely. Thank you, Amanda. Okay, listen up, everybody. We have a new student with us today. This is Matilda Wormwood. I'd like you to sit over here with Lavender. Now, you all remember how scary your first days at school were, so I'd like you to be especially nice to Matilda and make her feel welcome, all right? Could you get her workbook for her, please?
Yes, Miss Honey.
You can sit down.
Miss Honey was a wonderful teacher and a friend to everyone. But her life was not as simple and beautiful as it seemed. Miss Honey had a deep, dark secret. Though it caused her great pain, she did not let it interfere with her teaching.
Well, Matilda, you've come on a very good day because we're going to review everything that we've learned so far. Now, it's all right if you don't understand any of this because you're brand new. But if you do know an answer, just raise your hand, okay? All right. We've been working on our two times tables. Would anyone like to demonstrate? Okay. Let's do some together. 2 times 4 is?
8.
2 times 6 is?
12.
2 times 9 is?
18.
Excellent. You've been practicing. Pretty soon you'll be able to do any multiplication, whether it's 2 times 7?
14.
Very good. Or 13 times 379?
4,927.
I beg your pardon?
I think that's the answer. 13 times 379, 4927.
Lavender looks at Matilda. Miss Honey puts on her round spectacles and picks up her pen and paper to do the sum herself. As the class waits, Matilda smiles. Miss Honey looks at her in surprise.
It is.
Wow.
Matilda, you know how to multiply big numbers?
I read this book last year in mathematics at the library.
You like to read?
Oh, yes. I love to read.
What do you like to read?
Everything. But lately I've been reading Dolls Chickens. Charles Dickens. I could read him every day.
So could I. All right, everyone. Take out your workbooks and let's start with section 3.
The children get out their workbooks and open them up. Miss Honey smiles.
I'll be back in a moment.
Hardly able to contain her excitement, Miss Honey leaves the classroom.
He gotcha! Right in the neck, and you! Woo! Yes, you're here. Come in, whoever you are! Almost got you. Good to see you, Jen. Good, good, good. Time for one of our little heart-to-hearts.
Actually, it's about the new girl in my class, Miss Trunchbull, Matilda Wormwood.
Her father says she's a real wart.
A what?
A carbuncle, a blister, a festering pustule, a malignant ooze.
Oh, no. Matilda Wormwood is a very sweet girl. And very bright.
A bright child?
Yes. She can multiply large sums in her head.
So can a calculator.
Well, I think she might be happier in an older and in a more advanced class.
I knew it. You can't handle the little viper, so you're trying to foist her off on one of the other teachers.
No, Miss Trunchbull.
Yes, typical slothful cowardice. Listen to me, Jen. The distance the shot put goes depends upon the effort you put into it. Perspiration! If you can't handle the little brat, I'll lock her in the chokey! Get it?
Yes, ma'am.
One day, Jen, you'll see that everything I do is for your own good. And the good of those putrescent little children!
Trunchbull throws all her darts at the children's photos at once. Matilda walks home, clutching her books to her chest. She goes over to the FBI agents in their car. One's asleep, the other's reading a paper and doesn't notice her.
Get back to Tiffany. Before, when she was having that...
Mom, I'm home.
Oh, how was school? Good thing with Valerie.
School was great. My teacher lets me do sixth grade work.
You're kidding.
Algebra and geography.
Hold on a minute. Can't you see I'm in the middle of an important phone call?
Well, you just asked me how school was.
Quiet. What else was she supposed to do? The baby wasn't his.
Well, it was really great.
No way. They gotta be implants.
The principal is insane. She threw a girl over the fence by her hair.
It would change your life, too, if you waxed yours. I'm positive.
I have the most wonderful teacher.
Mine are driving me crazy. I'm telling you, 6 hours a day at school is not enough.
I'll say.
Hi! Whack to the belly, a smack to the face, another smack to the face. Burns is hurt. He's on the ropes, ladies and gentlemen. Saved by the bell. Packages at this hour?
Come here.
What?
Okay.
Zinnia's been fixing Harry's hair.
Hello.
We don't give money, we don't like charities, we don't buy raffle tickets.
Mr. Wormwood, I'm Jennifer Honey. I'm Matilda's teacher.
What's she done now? You! Go to your room right now. Right now. Beat it. Look, whatever it is, she's your problem now.
No, there is no problem.
Then beat it. We're watching TV.
Mr. Wormwood, if you think watching some rotten TV show is more important than your daughter, then maybe you shouldn't be a parent. Now, why don't you turn that darn thing off and listen to me?
All right. Come on, get this over with. Mrs. Wormwood's not gonna like this. Come on, get in. Close the door.
Who is it?
Some teacher. Says she's gotta talk to you about Matilda.
What'd you do that for? He had Velasquez on the ropes.
What do you want?
I'm sure you're aware by now that Matilda has a brilliant mind.
Yeah, right. Mikey, give me a beer.
Her math skills are simply extraordinary. She's reading material that I...
Want one?
Oh, no, thank you, dear. Material that I didn't see until my second year of college.
Oh, college.
College.
I really feel with private instruction that she'd be ready for college in just a few short years.
Look, Miss Snit, a girl does not get anywhere by acting intelligent. I mean, take a look at you and me. You chose books. I chose looks. I have a nice house, a wonderful husband, and you were slaving away teaching snot-nosed children their ABCs. You want Matilda to go to college?
College? I didn't go to college. I don't know anybody who did. Bunch of hippies and cesspool salesmen.
Don't sneer at educated people, Mr. Wormwood. If you became ill, heaven forbid, your doctor would be a college graduate. Or say you were sued for selling a faulty car. The lawyer who defended you would have gone to college, too.
What car? Sued by who? Who you been talking to?
No, nobody. Oh, dear, I can see we're not going to agree, are we? No, I'm sorry I burst in on you like this. Sorry.
She leaves a book for Matilda.
We would
to sue her for interrupting our show.
Tell me about it. Why is he standing in the middle of the ring?
He's standing in the middle of the ring because it's over.
You missed it?
Tomorrow. Wait, it's over.
One.
How do I know? You shut it off.
Was it my fault that she came in the middle of the fight?
Up to hippity hop. The entire school will go to the assembly room immediately. Sit!
What's up? Beat to me.
Bruce Bogtrotter.
All the children turn to look at a nervous, tubby little boy sitting amongst them.
Would little Brucey come up here, please?
Bruce gets up and makes his way to the front of the room.
He lives on my block.
He climbs the steps onto the stage.
This boy, Bruce Bogtrotter, is none other than a vicious sneak thief. You're a disgusting criminal, aren't you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Cake. Chocolate cake. You slithered like a serpent into the school kitchen and ate my personal snack! Do you deny it?
Bruce glances at the other children.
Confess!
Well, it's hard for me to remember a specific cake.
This one was mine, and it was the most scrumptious cake in the entire world.
My mom's is better.
It is it? How can you be sure unless you have another piece? Sit down, Bog.
She forces him to sit and lifts a domed golden lid, revealing a large sticky chocolate cake on a plate. She then picks up a wicked-looking kitchen knife.
Here we go. Smells chocolatey, eh? Now, eat it.
I don't want any, thank you.
Eat it!
Don't eat it.
She wouldn't give him cake.
It's poison.
Something's up.
Trunchbull watches closely as Bruce takes a nibble. With chocolate around his mouth, Bruce starts to take bigger bites from the big, thick chunk of cake. Tiredly, he pushes the last bit into his messy mouth and licks his fingers.
You look like you enjoyed that, Brucey. You must have some more?
No, thanks.
But you'll hurt Cook's feelings. Huh? Cookie!
The rest of the vast cake.
She made this cake just for you to have on your very own. Her sweat and blood went into this cake, and you will not leave this platform until you have consumed the entire confection! The entire confection. See you at lunch. Thank you, Cookie.
Rotten kids.
You wanted cake, you got cake. Now eat it!
The mountain of cake is about 2 feet wide. The Trunchbull leers in close to Bruce as he starts to eat. Bruce claws at the soft, gungy chocolate cake with his hands, slowly devouring it chunk by chunk. He eats slowly, with heavy eyelids, and chocolate all around his mouth and cheeks. The Trunchbull raises her eyebrows at him with a cruel smile as he forces more and more cake down. Watching, Matilda is almost sick. Lavender's sitting next to her.
He's going to puke. I can't look. Is he going to puke? Without a doubt.
He slumps forward over the cake's silver platter and the cake's remains.
Moose looks real bad.
Give up?
Matilda stands up.
You can do it, Brucie! You can do it, Bruce!
Yeah, you can do it!
Go, Bruce!
The cubs all glare at the children, and Bruce revives, looking reinvigorated. Bruce buries his face in the cake. He finishes and picks up the silver platter, licking it clean, then holds it in the air like a winner's trophy. He waves the platter to his cheering friends, but the trunchbull shatters it over his head.
Assembly will stay 5 hours after school and copy from the dictionary. Any children who object will go straight into the chokey together.
That night, Matilda gets off the school bus and sees the FBI agents slurping drinks in their car, engrossed in a portable TV.
Young lady, where were you?
Mr. Trunchbull kept the whole school late because this boy ate some chocolate cake.
That's the biggest lie I ever heard. You see those packages over there? They were left out there for the world to see because you weren't here to take them in.
Well, I don't think it's fair, Bumpkins.
What?
You get all this stuff from catalogs and I don't get anything.
It's not catalogs. It's car parts, sweetness. It's business.
Oh, if it's business, why don't you have it sent to the office?
Because the cops may be watching the office.
The cops are watching the house.
What?
They're parked outside right now.
You are such an ignoramus. Those are speedboat salesmen. Really nice guys.
Cops.
Speedboats? There are no lakes around here.
Yeah, but some people like to go away on the weekends. Some people have fun.
And some people are cops.
They are not cops.
Are too.
They are not. I don't know if there's cops watching my house. Now go to bed, you lying little earwig.
With the FBI watching her father and the Trunchbull terrorizing her school, it was a rare and happy moment when Matilda could just play with her friends.
A bug! A bug! A bug!
Is it lavender?
A bug!
It's a salamander.
It's a chameleon.
It's a newt. Any of the small semi-aquatic salamanders from the genus Triturus.
Some are brightly colored and secrete irritating substances.
The Trunchbull's car arrives.
Useless! Flaming car!
What? Sell me a lemon?
You're heading for the chokey, young lady!
Chokey?
Teach you a lesson?
What lesson?
You and your father think you can make a fool out of me!
My father?
The guy with a stupid haircut!
I'm nothing like my father!
You're the spitting image! The apple never rots far from the tree!
Trunchbull teaches our class 3 lavender. Please get a water pitcher.
But Miss
Honey! She'll be here any second. Come on. Make sure the water's cold, Lavender. Finny, cover the fish. Put away the art project. Put away anything colorful. Oh, Charlie, won't you get those crayons for me?
Most great ideas come from hard work and careful planning. Of course, once in a while, they just jump out at you.
Raina, cover the birds and the beetles. Hurry, I hear her coming. Okay, now, last time, some of you forgot yourselves. Don't speak unless you're spoken to. Don't laugh, don't smile, don't even breathe loudly.
Don't breathe at all.
Morning, Miss Trunchbull.
Morning,
Miss Trunchbull.
Sit!
Lavender brings the Trunchbull her water.
Shoo.
Matilda's missing.
I've never been able to understand why small children are so disgusting. They're the bane of my life. They're like insects. They should be got rid of as early as possible. My idea of a perfect school is one in which there are no children at all. Do you agree, Miss Honey?
She nods as she leaves the classroom.
Now, you. Front of the class.
Miss Honey unlocks the chokey door and lets Matilda out.
Are you okay?
Next time I tell you to empty your pockets, you'll do it faster, won't you?
Excuse me, Principal.
Miss Honey, this could be the most interesting thing you've ever done. Sit down, you squirming worm of vomit.
Seeing Trunchbull about to pour herself some water, Lavender smiles, remembering the newt.
Get up!
Amanda does so, her long hair now loose.
Can you spell?
Miss Honey taught us how to spell a long word yesterday. We can spell difficulty.
You couldn't spell difficulty if your life depended on it.
She taught us with a poem.
A poem? How sweet. What poem would that be?
Mrs. D, Mrs. I,
Mrs. F, F, I, Mrs. C, Mrs. U, Mrs. L, T, Y.
Why are all these women married? Mrs. D, Mrs. I, you're supposed to be teaching spelling, not poetry.
She pours herself some water.
I can't for the life of me understand why small children take so long to grow up. I think they do it deliberately, just to annoy me.
She drinks without realizing the newt has slipped into her glass. She puts the glass of water and the newt down.
What's funny? Come on, spit it out. Speak up. I like a joke as well as the next fat person.
She looks down and spies the newt in her glass.
It's a snake! It's a snake! Ah! It's a snake! Ah. One of you tried to poison me! Who? Oh, Matilda. I knew it.
I just thought you'd like to know it's not a snake. It's a newt.
What did you say?
It's a newt, Miss Trunchbull.
Stand up, you villainous sack of goat slime. You did this.
No, Miss Trunchbull.
Did you act alone? Or did you have accomplices?
I didn't do it.
You didn't like the chokey, did you? Thought you'd pay me back, didn't you? Well, I'll pay you back, young lady.
For what, Miss Trunchbull?
For this newt, you pissworm!
I'm telling you, I didn't do it.
Besides, even if you didn't do it, I'm gonna punish you. Because I'm big and you're small, and I'm right and you're wrong, and there's nothing you can do about it. You're a liar and a scoundrel, and your father's a liar and a cheat. You're the most corrupt lowlifes in the history of civilization. Am I wrong? I'm never wrong. In this classroom, in this school, I am God!
The glass flies off the desk, spilling the water and the newt onto the Trunchbull. She panics in terror. She dances about, trying to get the newt off as it climbs further up her clothes. She finally manages to fling it across the room and it sticks to a nightshade. A boy underneath holds out his hands and catches it.
You!
It didn't move!
This.
How could she possibly have done it when she was sitting way over here?
I'll be watching you, each and every one. When you turn the corner, when you go to your little cubbies to get your smelly little coats, when you skip merrily to lunch, I'll be watching you, all of you, and especially you.
With a grim face, the Trunchbull strides out of the room.
For not telling. Best friends don't tell. She could really dance.
I'm gonna clean up this mess and then I'll come and help you fill the bird feeder, okay? I'll be out there in a minute.
The children leave.
Miss Honey?
Yes, Matilda?
Miss Honey, I did it.
You did what?
I made the glass tip over.
Oh, sweetheart. Don't let Miss Trunchbull make you feel that way. Nobody did it. It was an accident.
I did it with my eyes. Watch, I'll prove it to you.
Matilda pours a glass of water.
until you feel so powerful. Many people don't feel powerful at all.
She rests her chin on the table and concentrates on the glass.
It's all right, Matilda.
I really did do it, Miss Honey.
One of the odd things about life is sometimes you can do something until you want to show someone, and then you can't. Or sometimes you think something's broken, then you take it to be fixed.
This isn't like that.
Oh.
I don't know. Maybe I made myself tired.
Matilda, would you like to come over to my house this afternoon?
I'd like that very much, Miss Honey.
Good.
Matilda skips off with Miss Honey.
You do believe, don't you?
Oh, I believe that you should believe in whatever power you think you have inside of you. Believe it with all your heart.
A large, neglected house.
That's where Miss Trunchbull lives.
Why is there a swing?
A girl I know used to live in that house. Her life was good and happy. When she was just 2 years old, her mother died. Her father was a doctor, and he needed someone to look after things at home, so he invited the mother's stepsister to come and live with him. But the girl's aunt was a mean person who treated the girl very badly.
The Trunchbull?
Yes. And worst of all, when the girl was 5, her father died.
How did her father die?
The police decided he'd killed himself.
Why would he do such a thing?
No one knows.
The Trunchbull comes to stand next to the girl on the swing.
The end is happier. She found a small cottage. She rented it from this lovely rhubarb farmer for just $50 a month. And she covered it in honeysuckle, and she planted hundreds of wildflowers, and she moved out of her wicked aunt's house, and she finally got her freedom.
Good for her.
Do you know why I told you this?
No.
You were born into a family that doesn't always appreciate you. But one day, things are going to be very different.
Matilda nods.
Should we go inside and have tea and cookies?
Yes, please.
Okay.
This is the cottage from your story.
Yes.
The young woman is you. But then... no.
Yes. Aunt Trunchbull. When I left my home, Aunt Trunchbull's home, I had to leave all my treasures behind.
Treasures?
Photographs of my mother and father. And a beautiful doll my mother gave me with a china face. Lissy doll, I called her. Would you like some milk?
Yes, please. Why don't you run away?
I've often thought about it, but I can't abandon my children. And if I couldn't teach, I'd have nothing at all.
You're very brave, Miss Honey.
Not as brave as you.
I thought grown-ups weren't afraid of anything.
Quite the contrary. All grown-ups get scared, just like children.
I wonder what Miss Trunchbull is afraid of.
The Trunchbull's loading her car with sports equipment.
There she is!
Matilda and Miss Honey hide behind a bush.
Shot put.
Hammer throw.
Javelin.
A small black cat appears by the Trunchbull's car, and she seems frightened. She rattles her keys and backs away.
Back. She's afraid of a cat.
Black cats. She's very superstitious.
Go!
Suddenly, she kicks the cat clear out of her driveway.
Poor kitty.
Oh, he's all right.
Hopefully.
She drives off.
The Let's go get your treasures.
No, Matilda.
Well, she's gone. Come on.
Matilda runs off.
Matilda? Miss Honey?
Miss Honey races to join Matilda on the porch.
Come on, move, you piece of junkyard fodder! Shift, you! No.
While the Trunchbull struggles with her gear stick, Matilda and Miss Honey head into the house.
My house.
A sinister painting of the Trunchbull hangs over the fireplace.
Oh my. My father's portrait used to hang there.
Whoever painted the Trunchbull must have had a strong stomach. A really strong stomach.
A little way down the road, the Trunchbull heaves up the back of her enormous car and sidesteps round in a circle so that it's pointing in the opposite direction. Holding the steering wheel, she starts to push it along.
We should go. Father's chocolate box. After supper, he'd take a chocolate, cut it in half, and he'd always give me the bigger half. When he died, Aunt Trunchbull would count them so I couldn't even sneak one. She'd take a chocolate, bring it to her lips and say,
"Much too good for children."
Matilda shudders at the thought of the Trunchbull.
Have one.
Miss Honey strokes the box.
No, she'd notice.
Where's Lissy doll?
Upstairs. Matilda.
Matilda hides on the stairs. The Trunchbull arrives outside.
Crush the little wheel up.
This is my room.
Dust-covered furniture and a large portrait on its side.
That's my dad.
What's his name?
Magnus. I used to call him King Magnus. He called me Bumblebee.
I don't think Magnus killed himself.
Neither do I.
Is that Lissy doll?
Used car salesman scum, I want you around here now! With another car! Yes, I know what caveat emptor means, you low-life liar! I'm gonna sue you, I'm gonna burn down your showroom, I'm gonna take that no-good jalopy you sold me and shove it up your bazooka! When I finish with you, you're gonna look like roadkill! You what?
The Trunchbull spots the lid of the chocolate box, accidentally left crooked by Miss Honey. She walks over to it, unaware that her niece and Matilda are watching from the landing above. She picks up the lid and sniffs it. They duck behind a column as the Trunchbull comes out into the hall.
Shouldn't we hide or something? Yeah, go to the end of the hall, down the stairs and out the kitchen door. I'll distract her.
The Trunchbull strides up the stairs.
Who's in my house? Come on, fight like a man!
Hearing the Trunchbull's heavy steps, Matilda makes her way through piles of junk that litter a flight of stairs leading down to the ground floor. The Trunchbull is about to round the corner to the stairs when Miss Honey rushes to a pile of shot balls. Struggling to lift one, she tosses it across the room. The Trunchbull thunders across the landing, but Matilda knocks over some junk as she enters the kitchen, attracting the beastly woman's attention. The back door is nailed shut. The Trunchbull vaults over the banister, landing heavily in the hallway.
Teddy-o!
A chandelier shatters on the floor as she jumps to face the other way. She charges into the kitchen, but Matilda's not there. The Trunchbull paces slowly around the room, then notices the tablecloth moving in a recent breeze. Smiling to herself, the Trunchbull steps closer to the table. Miss Honey tiptoes along the hall. Matilda's cowering beneath the table as the menacing shadow of the Trunchbull's face moves slowly behind the tablecloth. The headmistress reaches her hand down and pulls out the cloth, but Matilda's disappeared. Matilda's wedged up beneath the tabletop, and as the Trunchbull sits down angrily, her great big boots appear under Matilda's nose. The Trunchbull cuts a large piece of chocolate cake and scoffs it hungrily. As Miss Honey peeps around the doorway, she spots Matilda slipping down to the floor, so she races to the front door, opens it, then closes it again before hiding. The Trunchbull sprints to the front door, grabbing an athletics hammer as she goes, while Miss Honey hurries upstairs. Matilda comes out of her hiding place to see the Trunchbull sniffing the air. As the monstrous woman crashes up to the first floor, Matilda's frozen with terror as junk comes tumbling down the back stairs. Relief floods her face when Miss Honey appears in the kitchen and the two of them bundle through another door down to the cellar. Miss Honey leads them to some doors, but they're locked with chains and a padlock. The Trunchbull's making her way down to the cellar.
Some rats are gonna die today!
The Trunchbull's face falls when she spots a little window flapping about. She rips the chains from the doors and bursts from the cellar as Matilda and Miss Honey take cover in some foliage. The Trunchbull swings the cannonball-like hammer through the grasses, narrowly missing Matilda and Miss Honey. She takes the top off a garden statue, then seems to lose interest and heads back inside.
Weren't you the most scared you've ever been in your whole life?
Come on, let's go.
She shouldn't be allowed to treat people like that. Somebody's got to teach her a lesson.
I know.
We'll wait until she leaves again. Then we'll go get your doll.
What?
Just kidding.
They head out of the garden.
Matilda, promise me you will never go back in that house again.
I promise.
Okay, come on.
Matilda looks back at the house as they walk away. When she gets home, Zinnia's entertaining the two FBI agents on the sofa.
So he came home with $2,000 cash, and he threw it up in the air, and we both just swam in it like we were on the $1 million sticky.
Do you like that show?
I love that show.
That was the old days. Now he's got money and banks all over this planet, and does he give me a dime? Matilda, this is Bob and Bill.
They're cops.
They are not cops. They are Ace Powerboat salesmen.
Baby face, I'm starved.
Hi, Harry.
Who are you? What is this, a hot tub party? Get the hell out of here. I slave all day. I come home, you're entertaining a couple of surfer dude bodybuilders.
They're cops, Dad.
You interested in timeshare?
You don't let me talk to people! I am in a cage, Abby. I need to talk to somebody besides our stupid kids!
Oh, yeah? Well, a man is entitled to come home and find dinner on the table without having to wade through a convention of male strippers!
Dad,
What do you want?
Yell at me, okay?
Shut up and leave us alone!
Yell at me again!
Yell at you! I'll come in there and pound your miserable hide! What do I have to do to gain respect around here? I'm gonna give you a tanning like you never heard in your life! My word is my law! Your law!
Matilda's door swings shut and locks.
No kid likes being yelled at, but it was precisely Harry's ranting and raving that gave Matilda the key to her power. To unlock that power, all she had to do was practice.
A box of cereal quivers on the table next to her. She closes her eyes.
You're a wormwood. It's time you started acting
stupid.
Like one. I'm smart, you're dumb.
Yeah,
I'm big, you're little.
Far from the tree.
There's something wrong.
I'm right, you're wrong.
Hey,
and there's nothing you can
book.
Do about it. You're a wormwood. It's time you started,
it's
acting,
time
like
you started
one. Acting like one.
The cereal box tips over to her delight. Next, the milk carton pops open and drifts over to her bowl. Milk pours over her cereal, then a spoon rises and drops into her breakfast. Laden with cereal, the spoon hovers before her face. Smiling, she takes a mouthful and holds the spoon up triumphantly. Standing on the coffee table, she points at each lamp in turn and they obediently click on. She waves at her doll, who jigs back and forth in response. Dancing now, she makes plants and ornaments spin on the spot, then points at a deck of cards and some poker chips. The cards and chips fly in formation around Matilda, swirling around the room in a colorful whirlwind. She gets off the table and directs everything back into its place.
That was one of my personal favorites, played especially for all you little bitty pretty ones, moving and grooving on this sunny afternoon, playing music to make you smile, so you'd better not touch that.
Sitting on a sofa, she makes the curtains open to reveal the FBI agents. They let themselves into the garage.
Shouldn't we have a search warrant to do this?
Nah, this guy's dirty. Once we show this tape in court, Wormwood's goose is cooked. I'm sure that box is full of stolen car parts.
You've been taping all week. How about letting me handle that camera for a while?
You know how to use it? You know about the zoom and the white balance? You know how to adjust the eyepiece?
I can handle it.
Matilda's made the box move.
Besides, it's my turn.
Yeah, your turn to drop it.
I won't drop it.
They move the ladder.
Come on.
You two men are gonna be in a lot of trouble very soon.
It's the female minor.
Aren't you supposed to be in school, young lady?
I really hope you have a search warrant. According to a constitutional law book I read in the library, if you don't have one, you could lose your job or even go to federal prison.
It's your father who's going to federal prison. And you know where you'll end up?
In a federal orphanage.
If you cooperate, we'll make sure it's a nice orphanage.
The kind with food and teeny-weeny cockroaches.
What do you say?
There's another crime in the making. Your car is about to run a stop sign.
Matilda's made their car roll down the hill, and as they run off, she makes the videotape pop out from their camera.
So she bought a little time for her dad to come to his senses. But now Matilda had bigger fish to fry. Much bigger.
It's nighttime, and Matilda does up her coat. She makes her backpack float over to her, then heads out of her bedroom. Harry and Zinnia are watching TV, and Mikey's in the kitchen.
Hey, Stiffface, where are you going?
Out.
Hey, Dipface, have a carrot.
Mikey flicks a carrot at her, but it stops in midair at her face, and she sends it flying back towards him. It lands in his mouth.
Chew your food, you're an animal!
She makes her way through the stormy night to the Trunchbull's house.
Having power isn't nearly as important as what you choose to do with it. And what Matilda had in mind was nothing short of heroic.
She reaches a window and watches as the trunch ball sharpens one of her javelins. Sparks fly in the dimly lit room. Matilda ducks as the grotesque woman turns to take a chocolate from the box and pops it in her mouth, still in its wrapper. Matilda climbs up a trellis onto a roof. She crawls along the tiles, then takes a seat and looks through the bedroom window with a pair of binoculars. The wind whips her hair around her face. In Miss Honey's room, the portrait of Magnus moves away from the bed so Matilda can get a better view of the doll. A lamp comes on, then the doll slowly lifts off the pillow and drifts across the room. The window opens, but as the doll flies outside, the wind blows it back into some bushes. Matilda sits astride the roof and concentrates hard. Matilda takes the doll in her arms, then climbs back down the trellis, unaware that her red hair ribbon has got caught on a branch. Inside the house, the trunch ball is practicing her javelin throw. As the trunch ball leaps to reach her javelin that's stuck in the wall, Matilda waits by the window and makes two golden wrapped chocolates leave the box and fly off towards her. The window opens and she grabs the chocolates. As the trunch ball pulls her javelin from the wall, she hears the window slam shut. Marching over to it, she presses her face up to the glass while Matilda hides against the wall outside. The trunch ball takes her cup of tea and stands by the fire, not noticing that the hands of her clock are speeding forwards to 9 p.m. As the wicked woman places her tea on the table, Matilda makes her armchair scoot backwards. The trunch ball sits down. The hands of the clock speed forwards to 10 p.m. As the trunch ball shakes the clock, Matilda makes external power cables tremble, and inside the house, the lights flicker on and off. Windows fly open, making sheet music scatter and flutter around the room.
Leave me alone!
Clutching the javelin, the trunch ball looks up to see her portrait fall from the wall above the mantel and teeter into the fire. Flames lick around the canvas. Shot balls bang down the stairs, followed by the portrait of Magnus, which floats serenely along behind them. She has to duck as it swoops over her and into its rightful position above the fireplace. The clock says midnight. The trunch ball races outside while Matilda watches her from behind a tree trunk. The little girl laughs and unwraps one of the chocolates as the headmistress struggles to get inside her car. Matilda runs off. As the trunch ball is getting into her car, the red ribbon flutters through the air towards her. She grabs it and sniffs, all traces of fear disappearing from her face.
Miss Honey! Miss Honey, you'll never believe what I got you!
The doll.
Matilda.
Oh, I also brought you this. I ate mine last night.
At the sound of the Trunchbull's car, Miss Honey flinches and Matilda grabs the chocolate. The Trunchbull walks over to them.
I will be teaching your class today.
The headmistress looks a little disheveled.
In the time it took Miss Honey to get very, very nervous, Matilda had formulated a plan.
She's really raving mad.
What is it your father used to call you? Hummingbird?
Bumblebee. I'm sure she knows the doll's missing.
And he called her Trunchbull?
No, I suppose he called her Agatha. Yeah.
She called him Magnus, right?
Yeah, yes. Maybe I could go back to the house and put the doll back while she's still at school.
No, I can't do that.
Calm down, Miss Honey, really. It's gonna be okay.
Sweetheart, you promised you wouldn't go back in that house again.
I didn't. I was on the garage roof. I did it with my powers.
Okay, on the garage roof with your powers. All right, I need to think. Let's see.
Matilda makes the water jug rise into the air, and Miss Honey distractedly pushes it back down, not looking at what she's doing. Matilda laughs, then makes the jug rise again. Miss Honey suddenly realizes what's going on. Miss Honey swipes her hand beneath the floating jug.
I think I got them down. Watch this.
Pointing around the room, Matilda makes all the brightly colored paintings and equipment disappear into their hiding places. Miss Honey jumps when the blackboard rolls up to reveal a blank one.
No more Miss Nice Girl.
The Trunchbull herds the children in.
Get against the wall, against that wall, quickly! Don't make me wait! Water! And hold the newt!
To Matilda.
Join the ranks! Move! I am here to teach you all a lesson.
She shoves some tables out of the way.
Sometimes in life, horrible and unexplainable things happen.
She pushes some more with her foot.
These things are a test of character.
The classroom is now clear.
And I have character. Form a line across the room, quickly! Run, run, run! Don't keep me waiting! Fill this gap!
I expect you're wondering what I'm talking about. Yes. A child came to my house. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know why.
Miss Trunchbull, may I?
No, you may not. But I know a child came. So, did you know it was illegal to enter someone's home without their permission?
Yes, Miss Trunchbull,
sir.
Stand up straight, stomach in, shoulders back. Do any of you recognize this? Let's play a game, shall we? Who was wearing a pretty red hair ribbon yesterday and isn't wearing one today? Can you answer me that? Who does this disgusting ribbon belong to? I shall personally see to it that the demented, drooling, slime-breathed little Lilliputian who owns this disgusting ribbon will never see the light of day again. You.
Miss Trunchbull, I was the one who was at your house last night. I know I don't... I broke your arm once before. I can do it again, Jenny.
I am not 7 years old anymore, Aunt Trunchbull.
Shut your holes!
You. Will be put away in a place where not even the crows can land their droppings on you.
Look!
A piece of chalk hovers up to the blackboard and begins to write something.
A
Matilda makes the blackboard dusters fly across the room at the trunchbull, covering her in chalk dust. Matilda joins in the laughter as the dusters pummel the trunchbull into a faint and she falls heavily onto the floor. Matilda makes the blinds open, letting in the bright sunshine. The trunchbull lies motionless on the floor, and the children tentatively make their way over to her. Suddenly, her eyes open, and the children scatter. She grabs hold of one boy and lifts him above her head.
Miss Trunchbull, please don't throw him.
As the Trunchbull hurls the boy, the windows miraculously open and he glides expertly around the school grounds under Matilda's subtle direction. The Trunchbull looks confused. He comes zooming back towards the classroom straight at the Trunchbull. She turns to run, but is shoved into a large world globe. Miss Honey gestures to Matilda to make it spin, sending the Trunchbull round and round. She's thrown to the other side of the classroom. Getting to her feet, she staggers violently as the room spins. She spots Lavender and charges at her like an angry bull. Matilda makes Lavender shoot up above the Trunchbull's head, sending the headmistress crashing through the classroom door. Lavender's hanging onto a pipe in the ceiling. The children's lunchboxes fly out onto the floor. Other classes come out into the corridor.
It's the trunch!
Lavender floats down from the ceiling.
Ooh, I didn't know I could do that. Pretty good, huh?
Escaping from Miss Honey's class and the contents of their lunchboxes, the Trunchbull is faced with the rest of the school, all readying their food to throw at her. As she forces her way through the crowds, Bruce squashes some chocolate cake into her face. She emerges from the school covered in food, her shirt untucked and a shoe missing. She climbs into her car and reverses away from the building. Matilda throws some fruit along with other children and Miss Honey's not far behind.
And the Trunchbull was gone, never to be seen or heard from, never to darken a doorway again. Miss Honey moved back into her father's house.
Tea time.
Of course, Matilda was a frequent visitor.
Did you know that the heart of a mouse beats at the rate of 650 times a minute?
Why? Where'd you learn that?
In a book. It beats so fast it doesn't sound like it's beating at all. It sounds like it's humming.
The Wormwoods pull up.
Hey, you! Hey, we're leaving. Come on, let's go. Get in the car. Hurry up. Let's wrap up these cookies. Come on, we're leaving. Now.
I'd be happy to walk her home.
Well, nobody will be there. We're moving to Guam. Come on, let's go.
Guam?
Yeah. Daddy's not going to be in the auto business anymore.
I don't want to leave. We're going on a permanent vacation.
Yeah, and we got to beat the speedboat salesman to the airport.
I love it here. I love my school. It isn't fair. Miss Honey, please don't let them...
Get in the car, Melinda.
Matilda.
Whatever.
I wanted to stay with Miss Honey.
Well, Miss Honey doesn't want you. Why would she want some snotty, disobedient kid?
Because she's a spectacularly wonderful child, and I love her.
Adopt me, Miss Honey. You can adopt me.
Look, I don't have time for all these legalities.
1 second, Dad. I have the adoption papers.
What?
Hey, where'd you get those? From a book in the library. I've had them since I was big enough to Xerox.
Are you hearing this, Harry?
All you have to do is sign them.
I'll be an only child again.
Shut up! I can't think with all these sirens. What do you think, Pumpkin?
You're the only daughter I ever had, Matilda. And I never understood you, not one little bit. Who's got a pen?
Here.
Thanks.
And doing perhaps the first decent thing they ever did for their daughter, the Wormwoods signed the adoption papers.
Okay. Here.
Zinnia signs her name, then Matilda takes the form over to Harry, who leans on his daughter's back.
You're not going to be calling us for support payments or something like that, huh?
Oh, no, no, no. We'll have everything we need. Don't worry.
All right, here. Let's roll.
Matilda rushes into Miss Honey's arms.
Ciao.
Miss Honey holds Matilda as Harry and Zinnia drive away.
So Harry and Zinnia got away. And as bad as things were before, that's how good they became. Miss Honey was made principal of Crunchham Hall, which had to add an upper school because children never wanted to leave. And Matilda found, to her great surprise, that life would be fun. And she decided to have as much of it as possible. After all, she was a very smart kid.
They play on the swing, push back the furniture in the living room so they can play with hoops and roller skates. Then they tuck into the chocolates.
But the happiest part of the story is that Matilda and Miss Honey each got what they had always wanted, a loving family. And Matilda never had to use her powers again. Well, I mean almost never.
A copy of Moby Dick floats across the bedroom to Matilda.
On the way. On the way.
Call me Ishmael. Some years ago, never mind how long precisely, having little or no money in my purse, and nothing particular to interest me.